Blog Talk Radio.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of Christ my Savior,
standing on the promises of God is the best place to be standing. Praise God. Welcome, everybody, to Manna from Heaven. It's Monday, April 25th, and we are looking at the last portion of Ezekiel 34:11. I hope everyone had a blessed day yesterday in the Lord's house. It was an unusual service. We sorely missed our dear organist, Beth Close. We missed the chimes, we missed the organ, and we missed Beth. We hope and pray that she's feeling better today. Well, we have much to do this week. After this, I'm headed for church to pray, believing that God is going to keep adding to Grace Church, and not just adding, but adding quality. Adding what Grace Church needs. Every church needs quality. Every church. And so we're praying, we're believing, we're trusting in God. I'm also praying for our door-to-door outreach. I'm praying for tomorrow night's prayer meeting. You know, last week I couldn't attend because the lights went out and we had the sniffles this week. You know, the house was cold for 2 days and I had the sniffles, Daniel had the sniffles, Rachel had the sniffles, and last week was an unusual week. And I got to tell you something very interesting. I went to church the day of the snowstorm. I went to church Tuesday. That's when it was starting to snow. It wasn't that of a damaging storm yet. So I went to church Tuesday from 12 to 1. And out of all the days I went last week, Monday through Friday, Tuesday was the day that I felt God's presence the most. Tuesday was unusual. And when I went back Wednesday, I wanted the same experience. I wanted to, and I didn't get it. I didn't get it on Thursday. I didn't get it on Friday. You know, sometimes you go to church, and not all services are the same. But that Tuesday, the day of the snowstorm, when it was starting, was a powerful time of prayer with the Lord. And so I'm hoping and I'm praying that today, as we begin another week of prayer, that God will meet us at his house and bless us yet again and give us the strength that we need. Well, we're looking at Ezekiel 34:11, the last portion, and it reads like this. The whole verse reads like this. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will both search my sheep them out. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. How can we not thank you? How can we not praise you? How can we not have blessings flowing out of our mouths for you? You are our Father. You are our Redeemer, our Savior, our Lord, our God, our everything. To you we turn again, and to your word, that by means of it you may build up your church. Bless us, Lord, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen and amen. Well, it seems to many people, looking on the surface, that the phrase will both search my sheep, which is in blue in your outline, and seek them out are synonymous. But they're not. And this is why in preparing the lesson, in preparing this month's teaching on manna, we divided that portion which says, "Will both search my sheep," and we put that in blue, and "seek them out," we put them in red, because they are not one and the same. God is not doubling down on what he's saying in the section in blue with that which follows. It's two different things. Now, again, in English, to search and seek mean the same thing, but not in Hebrew. Well, the Hebrew words don't mean the same thing. So let's go to today's portion. Let's go to the Monday portion, which is there in your outline on page one, Monday, April 25th. And you know that last week we talked about how God was conducting a door-to-door search. He was searching his sheep. We came to that conclusion based on the Hebrew word darash, which means that God is doing a door-to-door search. He's looking. He's following every lead. Now, again, we said this is human language, and, you know, this is the language that we have. We do not speak in divine language. We do not speak in the tongues of angels. We have the tongues of men. And in the tongues of men, we have to use words that describe the actions of men to kind of give us an idea about the actions of God. But again, while the word darash means door-to-door search, or, you know, an exhaustive search, a comprehensive search, we know that God Almighty doesn't need to do a door-to-door. Why? Because he's all-knowing. But the word is used to convey that God's search of us, God looking for us, is comprehensive. That's the main thrust, the main idea. Now, when we look at the phrase, seek them out, and by the way, in Hebrew, that English, that those three English words, seek them out, in Hebrew is one word. Those three English words in Hebrew is one word. And it's the Hebrew word bakar. And this word means to investigate out of deep concern. So who has deep concern over his people? When the Bible says, when God says in that portion in red, I will seek them out. Who has bakar, or who has deep concern over his people? God does. So again, Hebrew word bakar matches the three English words, seek them out. And it means to investigate out of deep concern, to find out what ails and cure the maladies or injuries, or to cure the malady or injuries provided by providing tender care. Now, why is it that the two phrases are not synonymous? Again, let's look at it in Let's look at the way I have it laid out, and it's color-coded. Will both search out. That has one meaning. That speaks of a comprehensive search. But the portion in red has to do with God personal investigation. Allow me to explain. Let's just say that I have a flock of sheep. I have a flock of sheep, and I am the shepherd of that flock. And my job is not only to guide them into green pastures to make sure that they get fed, but also to guide them to still waters. But also, my job is to do a routine monthly inspection. You know, you check your sheep on a monthly basis. What you do is you corral them, and you start looking them over one by one. You look at their hooves to make sure that if their nails need clipping, you clip their nails. You check their wool to see if there's any blood coming out of any section, if there's any scarring, if they have too many parasites embedded in their wool. You look at their eyes to see if they have rosy-colored eyes. If their eyes are white, you have a parasite problem. If you look at their gums and their gums are not pink but white, you know you have a parasite problem. Or if your sheep have diarrhea, you know you have problems. So you are constantly looking at your sheep. Now, you do not determine the state of your flock by just looking at one sheep or by investigating one sheep. No. What you have to do is you have to look them over one by one. See, that's the idea behind the Hebrew word bakar. When God says, I will seek them out, he's saying he's going to look them over one by one. One by one. You do not, listen, the hospital does not admit one patient, and then the doctors look over this one patient and determine by that one patient that everyone, let's say if you go to the Little Falls Hospital, the staff at the Little Falls Hospital does not just look at one patient and say, okay, we looked this one patient over, and we have determined based on this one patient that everyone else in Little Falls has the same maladies or the same injury. That's malpractice. You can't do that. So what does the Little Falls Hospital do? It takes in every patient. It registers every patient. A nurse comes and takes your blood pressure. A nurse comes and takes out your blood. A nurse comes out and tells you to stand on the scale. They put you in a room, in a private room, and the doctor comes in and begins to ask you questions pertaining to you. They have a chart on you. You have an individual chart. They have a record of the medications you've taken, or the medications that have been prescribed, or the operations that you've had. They have a medical history on you. This is the same thing that the Hebrew word bakar is talking about. God goes out, and he says, I will search my sheep. I'll find them. I'll go door to door. I'll go through every valley. I'll go on every hill until I find every one of my sheep. But when I bring them back to the fold, now I will do one-on-one health care. You see, that's what the term seek them out. Not all sheep suffer from the same maladies. So again, the Hebrew verb bakar, meaning to investigate out of deep concern. Who has deep concern over you and me? God the Father does. He will find out what ails us, because we don't all have the same ailments. He will find out what ails us and cure the malady or injury by providing tender care. God, like a doctor at a hospital, exhaustively interviews each sheep and provides individual care based upon their individual needs. God does not provide a one-size-fits-all approach. That would be, if God did that, and by the way, no doctor does that, any doctor who applies a size-one-fits-all approach to all his patients, that's malpractice. That's misapplied care. God does not provide misapplied care. Now, Let's review Ezekiel 34, verse 4 and 16. It's right there in your outline. Ezekiel 34, verse 4. It says, this is God speaking out against the pastors. He says, the weak you have not strengthened. The sick you have not healed. So notice, weak and sick are two different things. So the weak you have not strengthened. The sick you have not healed. The injured you have not bound up. The strayed you have not brought back. The lost you have not sought. So here are five categories. And God says to the pastors, to the wicked pastors, to the negligent pastors, to the abusive pastors, to the self-centered pastors, these are the things you have not done for my flock. Some of my sheep are weak. Others are sick. Others are injured. Others are strayed. Others are lost. And you have not applied any remedy to any of these. All of these you have neglected. Now in verse 16, look what God says. The lost I will seek. The strayed I will bring back again. The injured will I bind up. The sick will I strengthen. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. Who will God destroy? The fat and the strong. Who are the fat and the strong? Well, these are the pastors who have benefited themselves off the backs of their sheep. They have stripped their sheep of money. They have stripped their sheep of tithes and offerings. They have enriched themselves. They've made themselves fat and economically strong at the expense of the sheep for whom they care not. And so God says, I will go and seek out the lost. The stray I will bring back again. The injured I will bind up. The sick I will strengthen. So notice, four remedies for four different kinds of sheep. Not the same remedy applied to all. Not all have the same injury. Not all have the same malady. Not all have the same sickness. Not all have the same disease. So different application to different needs. But how do you know the needs of the sheep? By looking them over. And that's what the word bakar means. So to search for them means to go out and find the ones that have left the flock for whatever reason. You found them. You brought them back. But to seek them out is to seek what remedy they need for the malady they have. It's the properly applied health care. And this is why pastoral ministry is so important, and the reason why we should not lump everybody into one category. And this is why a pastor should really meet with each individual sheep and keep meeting with them so that he can apply the care that they individually need. Not everybody needs the same care. And to just, you know, apply the same care to everybody, you think you're doing something. Well, I did my job. No, you did not. You did not. Why? Because you can't, listen, some people just have a fever. So you give them a fever medication. Other people have a broken bone. So to give me fever medication and I have a broken bone, well, I did something for him. No, but you did something, but it was not the right thing. To do the right thing is to sit them down and to do what God does. And what does God do? He does exhaustive seeking. In other words, he meets with the individual and he what? He digs. He probes. God, like a doctor, will ask questions. Now, again, the language, it's human language to describe what a doctor would do in the natural, but we know that God doesn't have to dig and God doesn't have to probe and God doesn't have to ask questions because he already knows. He's all-knowing. But the words are used to describe what God does, and what God does is what a doctor does. And to give us comfort to know that if we get lost, if we wander away from the flock, he will go after us. And then when he brings us back, he'll sit us down and ask us and get to the root cause as to why we left. You see, it's not just finding me and bringing me back, but then when he brings me back, he wants to deal with the root cause. What caused me to leave the church? What caused me to leave this flock? What caused me to leave this group of brothers and sisters? What happened? You see, so on the one hand, he physically searches for you and physically brings back the wandering saint or the hurting saint. But then when he sits down, he wants to know what hurts you, where it hurts. When did the pain begin? What scarred you? When were you scarred? And then he begins the treatment. So notice, the two words are not synonymous. To search and to seek are not the same thing. When God seeks us out, he is doing an exhaustive probe. He is digging into your heart and going into the recesses of your mind to find out when you were hurt, the day and the time, the incident, and what were the consequences of that, and how, what caused you to become sick over time. And then he looks forward to healing our spiritual hurts. So I hope you tune in tomorrow as we continue to go through this series and see, and just to know how awesome our God is and how God is the exemplary pastor. He's the ultimate pastor. He's the pastor that all pastors should emulate. If you want to be a successful pastor, just look at the way God did it and emulate that, mimic that, copy that pattern, and you will be a pastor approved of God. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks today. We praise your name because we are in such good care. We have nothing to complain about. Our God is an awesome God. We love you, Lord. Bless us. Bring us back again tomorrow, we pray, as we continue to delve into this exhaustive study as to how not only do you look for us and find us, but then you seek what caused our leaving your family in the first place. And once you find out what it was that bruised us so, that injured us so, then you apply your balm of grace. Bless us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Victory.